queens and everything in betweens. What is good, fam? It's another edition of the Peasant Party Podcast. I feel like I'm extra cozy today. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I'm your host, Charlotte Warren. To my right is your favorite person ever. Say what's up.
Hey, what's up?
Annabelle, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been so good. Let's see. I'm trying to not drink for a month, and I'm on day 5, I think. It was last Friday was my last day. So, yeah. Day 5, which is a big deal for me.
Hey,
I have not...
Love liquid death.
Liquid death really is a great substitute, but I haven't not drank for longer than 2 weeks. I took like a 2-week break once in there, but I haven't not drank for a month since
high
I started
school.
Drinking,
probably,
like, which is crazy. And it's not even like I'm getting drunk. Like, I really, I'm past the point where I want to get drunk because... Mm-hmm. It's exhausting and not fun, and I just get the spins. But, like, you know, one or two a day, like, that adds up. So, I'm just going to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was something that... Well, because when I first started doing TikToks, like, something I would do is, like... So, I didn't know what to do with my hands. I was super awkward. It was also just... It takes liquid courage to start hearing your own voice.
For and so sure.
There was, like... I look back at my old videos as I'm getting all of, like, the old, you know, 1 year ago memories on TikTok. Yes. And it's, like... For some of them, I'm just like, why do I have a Bud Light in my hand? Like, it feels so unnecessary. And I'm glad I, like, put that down. Because I was also realizing, too, I'm like, this is adding up. Like, I'm having a drink I wouldn't have had. Like, I'm not getting drunk on a weekday, but I'm having a beer, too, on a weeknight when I wouldn't have otherwise had one. So,
A Bud Light.
It's good to cut out.
Yeah. It's just, like, a habit. I don't know. It's, yeah, you're not getting drunk on one, but, like, the calories add up, depending if you're going out, like, the money adds up or whatever. But yeah, I definitely know what you mean by, like, liquid courage. And now that I'm not, like, going on first dates all the time, it's a little easier.
Exactly.
Going on first dates is rough.
So how is that? How is Mr. Annabelle doing?
Mr. Annabelle, he's doing so good. He's doing it with me, is the thing. He brought it up. He was like, yeah, I was wondering if, you know, I'm thinking about going a month no alcohol, and I was wondering if you would be down to do it. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. I would love to. I would love to try that with you because we're California sobers, too.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, not dead sober. Not dead sober. No, I also took a bunch of Adderall yesterday and cleaned my entire apartment. It was amazing.
How clean is it?
I took a shower in my clean shower. I got a new, like, shower liner, everything, scrubbed the shit out of that thing. Oh my God, there is nothing like that. There's no better feeling than a clean shower. It was nice.
Love it.
Yeah, I like organized my wallet. I was all cracked out, but I got a lot done. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Feel like, yeah, like I said, I don't know, a little like loopier than usual. I really don't know why. I think it's probably just like gloomy goose outside or some shit. But
it's a little gloomy.
Yeah.
I like it though. It's nice. Yeah.
I want to tell an old story that I think would be really funny to just say.
Let's hear it.
Okay. And this is a story that you're involved in. Okay.
No. Oh God.
So remember, okay, and this, it's so funny because like when this happened, it was probably the summer of 2019. I was recently out of a relationship. And I don't know if it was like a first date. It was someone that like friend of a friend that my friend's like, oh, you should like get to know him. So I'm like relatively newly getting to know some dude. And I don't know what we're doing. And then all of a sudden I get a call from our mom. And she's I ignore the call and she's like, she keeps texting and she's like, answer the phone. It's a effing emergency. And I'm like,
I think I know this story.
So I'm like, hey, I've got to answer this. And I'm like, Mom, what's going on? She's like, Charlotte. She's like, I just need you to be quiet. She's like, I need to get your help. So she's like, I think your sister might be a stripper.
I knew you were going to say that. What? Oh my God. Oh my God. I remember this.
And I'm like, what are we talking about?
That was great.
So I'm like, what, Mom? Okay. What are you talking about? She's like, I'm like, what makes you think that? How do you know that? She's like, I was talking to your brother and your sister kept saying something about how she's got if I have her social security card, cause she has a new job that's just like a thing that she's doing, a side gig, and she needed the social security card. And so I took a picture of it and she wouldn't tell me what this job is. And
oh
so she's
God.
Like, I was trying to figure it out. I asked your brother if he knew what the job was, and he looks at me and says, oh, like,
well, Also, can I add, either, I think mom had my location on my phone.
So that
she
could part of-
see
so, okay, my location. Don't reveal it. Okay. Reveal this in the right way. Okay. So that, so, so she's like, I'm trying to figure out what the job is. And I go to, she's like, I go to your brother and I'm like, what's, you know, and who also has our locations on the phone, by the way. So I go to ask him, what is, like, what's your sister's job? Do you know anything? And he, and apparently Theo says to her, oh, like, it's not my place to say anything, kind of saying it in that kind of hokey tone of, I don't know if it's my place to say anything.
Stupid. And
of course, our mom's, like, trying to investigate. He's like, oh, you know, like, it's, you know, like, just look at the location. And so our mother looks at the location of Annabelle, and it is just a little bit, like, to the left or the right of the Spearmint Rhino in Santa Barbara, California. And I'm like, okay.
Hell.
And I look at my phone. She's like, she has a side gig. Her brother's being evasive about it. And I ask if it's a stripping thing. He's like, you know, I it's not my place to say anything. And he's like, she's here.
Yeah.
I think this is what's going on. And I need your help figuring out if this is the case or not. And I'm like, I look down at my phone and I'm looking at the thing. And I'm like, okay, it looks like she's at the Spearmint Rhino. And so I'm like trying to calm my mom down. I'm like, what motivation would she have to be like? She's not a stripper.
At this time, I think I'm also getting calls, like, yes, incessant calls. But yes, I was doing the job, so
yes,
I wasn't.
Don't give the don't do the reveal yet. Sure, and so like I start calling Annabelle. I'm like, hey, what is this job? And you're just, and then you say I'm back, like,
to me, everybody's in my fucking business.
Well, you're just like, why is this such a big deal? Why are you so concerned? Yeah. And I'm like, you know, she's like, is mom bothering you about my job? And you keep saying my job. You're not revealing anything. And like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm just curious. You're like, you're lying. You're like calling on mom's behalf. Like, go away. And so like, you're getting angry at everyone for calling you.
Yeah.
And so I'm like trying to, I'm like, there's no way she's a stripper. And so also I'm trying to figure this out myself. So I start like going through, I'm like, who do I know in my phone that's like in Santa Barbara, who's nearby, who could maybe like check for me? So I like start calling, like I call like Danielle. I'm like, hey, I need a giant favor from you. Can you go inside, go to the Spearmint Rhino strip club, go inside and just tell me if my sister's
just tell me
on
if
the
Annabelle's
pole,
up there,
if she's working there,
if she's
and
throwing it back.
I like called like three different friends and every single person is like, no, I called the Spearmint Rhino and they're like, it's a security thing. We can't tell you because it's like,
you called the Spearmint Rhino.
I'm like, I don't know if she's going by her own name. They're like,
my God,
they're like,
this is
we
so
can't tell. But they're also like, we can't tell you what, like if, who so and so is working there. That's like, it's a safety thing for our dancers. And so I'm like going down this list of people. I'm like, no one will go in the Spearmint Rhino for me because no one wants to go to a gross ass strip club. And so I'm like, okay, this is we're going to figure this out eventually. The dude that I'm sitting with is like, what the fuck is going on in this family? And so my mom's like continuing to text me. I'm like, okay, we're going to have to figure this out eventually. I like ask my brother and he's like, he's being like giving evasive and weird answers.
Because he knew, right? Didn't he know?
I think he knew.
Or maybe not. Okay. Maybe he was just guessing.
I think he knew. And I think, because I think apparently, and then so finally, like the day's wrapping up and I guess your day at your job, what we're going to find out is finally ends. And mom, I think, calls you and she finally says, like, Annabelle, I just need to know, like, please give me some peace of mind. Are you a stripper? And you said, I'm sorry. What?
You're building it up way too much because of what my job actually was. It was literally, okay, so basically I what? Go.
No, I was gonna say, and you're like, what? And because I think it occurred to you before because you called my brother back and you're like, what did you, like, did you tell mom about my job or whatever? And he's like, well, yeah, but I kind of added a twist.
Oh my God, I remember this. Fucking A. Oh my God. Okay, so can I just fucking explain it? Okay, so basically the guy I was dating at the time worked for an alcohol brand. I was jobless. I was completely unemployed, trying to make ends meet in between my old job and getting my apprenticeship as a tattooer. So it was that summer, and it was like fiesta, and basically John knew some guy in the alcohol industry who was always looking for like borderline, like step down from like a bottle girl. Like you're pretty much, you know,
yeah, you
alcohol,
see those
like
promo people
at the Bacara or the whatever, like nice hotel
go
or whatever.
To any bar you'll
or
see them.
You know, events, and you just walk around with your little tequila and you say you want a shot and you like wear your little outfit and you, blah, 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 whatever. I was doing my hot girl thing, it was fine. So I did that for a summer, for summer. I did it for like a month. It sucked ass. But I didn't tell mom because mom's so like weird about me doing anything that doesn't like require a college degree.
Oh, I thought it was more she like didn't like us doing anything that worked with alcohol.
She did that. Was like a whole thing. Yeah, definitely. She was always like, bartender, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And of course now I'm like a tattooer, which was a total disgrace to the family. But anyway. So yeah, so I was like doing this bottle girl thing and I didn't want to tell mom because I was like, oh, she's just gonna rake me over the coals. So when she's calling incessantly, I thought she was freaking out about me like serving shots to people, and I was like, oh, she's just calling to like basically make me tell me like, get your ass out of there. And at this point, mind you, I am what, 26, 25?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh no, I was 24. I was a grown fucking woman. But yeah, and that restaurant was like right next to the fucking Spearmint Rhino, which is so funny that she like,
oh yeah, that's why, because the restaurant is like a block away. It was actually across the train tracks, but like it looked very close enough.
And so yeah, but I it is so funny that she would like panic that I would be stripping.
I just
because I did consider it. I thought about it once. I went to strip clubs up in Portland, which are the best ones ever. And I remember like talking to some strippers and being like, oh, I don't know, I think I might be too old to do it. I was like 23 at the time. And they're like, girl, what? You could definitely get on up there. It's an amazing exercise. I thought like, damn, I could make some fast cash here. I don't really want to work at my shit ass job anymore. But ultimately, I did not pursue that. And I have the utmost respect for sex workers because that shit is crazy. That shit is hard.
It was just difficult. A funny story and how the reveal. I'm calling people. I'm like, can you please go into the Spearmint Rhino and just tell me if my sister is working there? And everyone's like, I'm sorry, what the fuck do you want me to do?
Tell me if my little sister is on the pole. How horrifying. Imagine one of you guys walking in and checking to see if I was there. What's mom gonna do? Yank me down?
I don't know. That's what's funny is like we like allude to our brother who has no interest in doing any of this. Like our brother does shit like this. He's got this little sneaky side of him where he just like has like he can keep
Theo's
a secret.
A little shady.
He can be shady. Like
Theo's
he can
a little
hide
shady.
Stuff. He
he's
can
a little
keep
shifty.
A secret. He can fake anything. He's a good kid though. We love you too. But speaking of like family stuff, we're talking a little bit about like family dynamics in a way today with some of our questions. And I guess the quick hit question before we dive into this interesting family dynamic where people are being cagey kind of in that email. I guess, how would you define settling in dating?
I would say, at least the way that I'm seeing it the most in my like life right now, the way that it presents the most, settling to me is like, I guess a hard example would be going back to somebody that has wronged you or cheated, or like taking them back pretty much, or forgiving serious, transgressions and red flags, because you're like, well, this is really as good as it's gonna get. There's not gonna be anybody else out there who's gonna love me the way this person does. They're like, all men are like this, or all women are like this, so this is pretty much just like how it's gonna be. I might as well just pick this one person, even though they hurt me, or you know, or they disappoint me, or they fall short every time. Which is like, ultimately, I didn't realize it at the time, but like in my last relationship, I was settling. I was settling because it was like so, I got nothing out of it, but I was kind of like, well, I don't think any man's gonna give me anything, or, you know? So I was definitely like settling for what I thought I could get.
And I think like, yeah, so I think, so basically for your version of settling, it's somebody you're actively aware, you're consciously, you know, saying, this is as good as it's going to get, basically. Like, you're consciously thinking of it as choosing this over something else that could potentially be.
Yes, I did have the conscious thought, like, this is as good as it's going to get. Yeah. Yeah. And it was usually in times where we were, like, arguing or whatever, and I'm wanting to get back together, and I'm kind of, like, making the excuse for myself of, this is as good as it'll get, so you might as well be the one to apologize, be the one to bring you two back together.
That's my definition. Dummy. I think I like wrote it out for a TikTok, but it was like consciously seeing your romantic situation as a backup plan to something else, whether that be another romantic situation or like you know, yeah, some other life decision. Like if you see, if you think of yourself, like not in past, just like a fleeting thought, but, you know, if I wasn't married to so-and-so, I'd be a rock star. Like that would be like, that would be, you see yourself as settling, or, you know, I picked you, you know, I couldn't get this person. This person didn't want to date me, so I picked you. That'd be like my version of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think about like certain characteristics that kind of like run perpendicular to each other almost. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking to Bailey about this. Like I don't, as much as like the ideal man would be wonderful personality, great job, can take care of me, finances all in order, whatever. Like when I meet rich men, mm-hmm, I don't like their personality. Like they're, I just don't, I prefer to hang out with people that salt are like more blue collar, yeah, salt of the earth. Yes, mm-hmm, I do. And like, it's, I think there is a personality attached to that. Mm-hmm. And like a realness attached to that, being in touch with the world like that, mm-hmm, I want. So that's all, like, I'm kind of like, I don't really care if they're,
yeah,
you know.
Like, I'm sure if there was such rich a store as Build a Boyfriend, you know, the Build-A-Bear for boyfriends, mm-hmm, and we could literally go in there and pick every single trait that we wanted, that would be, we would pick something that doesn't exist or is like,
yeah,
would be hard to find in the wild. Like we all would, like I'm sure, you know, Buddy would probably like that I would be more decisive and better at staying organized.
Yeah, sure,
quite
sure
a few things like that. Like, uh-huh, we all have, like there's all things like that, and it's kind of like, is that settling? And if so, is that a bad thing? Like there's like,
because remember, then there's also like, people have flaws, mm-hmm, you know, they're human and you have to understand that they, mm-hmm, are human.
Exactly. And you can't be everything. It's like when you would create a character in The Sims and you only had like 25 points that to be divided among the 25.
Mm-hmm.
Like you couldn't, if you were really, really nice, then you used up your points on being nice and then you had a lazy Sim.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Like you have Sims to even out your qualities. You can't have everything.
Exactly. Can you, you know? So settling, we talked about that being something that you see yourself as doing. Can you, is there ever a time where you look at somebody else's romantic situation from the outside and say, they settled, one of these people settled on the other? Does that ever happen?
Yes.
And what is it about those relationships?
Well, see, it, I feel like the physically obvious answer is like, when there's like somebody really hot with somebody really, mm-hmm, not hot, like your gut reaction is, oh, they settled with someone, mm-hmm, because they just didn't think they could get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, like I have seen it in women who take back a man who, mm-hmm, did something shady, did something sketchy, because they're like, well, this is, mm-hmm, this is it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a matter of, I don't want to start over. I don't want to.
Like I see that. Like
the
where it's
history,
like,
yeah.
Where I've gotten the calls of crying, and then it's the it's not even like the fear of, it's not even, they're going to be sad to lose this person. It's, I have to go back there and be single again.
Oh, yeah, which sucks.
Yeah.
For real, for real.
Yeah. So I like, but at the same time, it's like that assessment is usually based on like things that they are telling me. Mm-hmm. It's never like, oh, like you, like seeing them with a person and just saying, yeah, they settled. Like I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But our listeners' family might. Do you want to read this one or the next one?
Ooh, it's a long one, huh? I can probably blast through it. I'll go fast.
Okay, cool.
28 female in a relationship with a man the same age. We'll call him John. We've been together 8 months. My family lives 1.5 hours away. Recently had a large get together, which included my whole dad's side of the family, parents and siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. Those in the relationships were told significant others were welcome, so I thought it would be a good opportunity to bring John. Before you say anything, I know this might sound high pressure, but I thought this might make things easier, as I have brothers and male cousins, and thought this would put John at ease versus just being one-to-one with my parents. As far as I can tell, the day went great. John met and made conversation with everyone he could, gravitating mostly toward my brother and guy cousins when not with me. He didn't say anything controversial. There were no clumsy or even awkward moments. He didn't necessarily stand out, but I feel like that's more of a good thing considering it was a family gathering and not about him. He seemed to be having fun as well, and on the ride home, he had nothing but good things to report. A few days later, I was on the phone with my sister, who was also there with her fiance. I asked, "What did you think of John?" She got quiet for a second, then said, "Oh, you know, he's fine. Just a dude." This was coming from the sister who did cartwheels when I first got a boyfriend in high school, so this response indicated something more at play. As I continued to push, she said, it's probably better if you ask mom. So I called my mom and said point blank that my sister was being cagey and asked what he might have done to leave a bad impression, as everything seemed fine to me. My mom replied, I mean, don't you think you're settling? She said things like, well, he was just kind of there, or he didn't go out of his way to make an impression, or he could have been more proactive with helping. When I pointed out the nature of the event, family-centric, not appropriate to stand out, she said, you know what I mean. I've always felt I'm good at reading people, but I can't quite pick up on exactly what my family didn't like about John. They have never reacted to any of my past boyfriends this way, though it has been roughly 5 years since my last relationship. Same goes for my siblings' boyfriends and girlfriends from what I've seen. My friends all like him just fine. There's also the thought in the back of my mind that while I love John and didn't notice anything wrong with how he acted, wonders if any of my family members picked up on a serious red flag while I wasn't around. For example, making a creepy comment to a cousin, that sort of thing. If anything like that happened, I would want to know. I'm really at a loss for what to think or how to interpret this, as well as what to do next. Is there a way to get a real answer from my family about why they don't like John? And what's the best way to turn around a potentially bad impression?
This is a loaded one.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one where you, like, you would have to see, because it's like, there's been very little about, you know, if I saw what this family looked like, I could probably, especially from the outside looking in, because I think people who are very socially aware, it's kind of funny because sometimes when you are, even if you are this person who can read people, like looking from the inside at your own family, like how some people are just not aware about their own family's quirks or like isms, things like that, is I don't know. I've always found that interesting.
I hate introducing boys to our parents. Yeah. I hate it with passion. You have to do it at some point. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, I hate having a man that I'm seeing over for that first dinner with our family. I just am so deeply uncomfortable. And I'm like so terrified. And I'm so, and you know why? Mm-hmm. You know why? Because if I was ever dating a guy, it has maybe, you know, as an adult, as it happens less, I'm a little bit more like independent minded. But back in the day when I would bring home a boy that I was dating and mom would say something like that after he left, you know, he's kind of like make a comment about him, I'd be like, great, now I don't like him anymore because you fucking said that.
I also think too, so this behavior this pisses me off because I'm familiar, it's not even just a family thing, it's not even just about dating. If you're trying to keep somebody in the dark about your feelings about something or something that happened, like if you actually want to keep somebody in the dark to protect them,
yeah,
like then say things that will keep them in the dark. Like say, you know, I like them. They were great. End of story. Don't be like, well, you know, don't let somebody know that there is a big secret out there that they're not allowed to know and gatekeep them from it. Like, because I hate when people do that. If you're going to just, you want them to be in the dark, say something that will keep them in the dark. Not just, well, you know, like I heard a few things, but you know, it's not my place to say anything. Just say, I have no idea. Just say, I don't know. Or in this case, He was great. Look forward to seeing him more. If that's really, like, if you don't want to have to reveal it, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about the things that it could be. Like, if it was me and I had brought home someone and the family said that, it would probably be, like, mom trying to disguise that she thinks he's dumb.
It's hard to diagnose because I'll just say, we're going to say things that it could be, and it could, there's, the options are really, family dynamics are weird.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think very real possibility that there was something that rubbed someone the wrong way and the rest of the family talked about it and they haven't told you yet.
Yes. And it does, so like I would that. Go, which is annoying too, because I always feel like you're like, my siblings are my allies when the parents are being weird. And it's weird that the sister is kind of deferring to the mom.
You would
think that the sister would be like, hey, okay, look, here's what's going on. Mom's going to say this. Like, here's what you need to know. It's weird that the sister is acting like that. But sometimes that happens. Like, family members just gang up on stuff. I would go probably to the sister and I would say, hey, I talked to you. I talked to mom. Your opinions are very important to me. I like this guy. But from what I am gathering, you are saying X, Y, and Z. That's not giving me a lot of context. You know, saying things like, you know, he, oh, you know, and stuff like that. It's very clear there's a bigger story here.
Uh-huh.
I like, please tell me, because I also want to, and even just, you could even say too, if there was something weird or crazy that happened, I need to know about it, because I don't want to be dating a person who did something weird. And I feel like that'll like bring people down.
They'll be like, no, my God, no, he's just ugly.
That's the thing though, but that's probably what will get it out. That's probably
true. If you're like, is this an egregious crime? Because that's what I'm going to assume it is until you tell me something otherwise.
Like saying something like that, like,
you're going to make me dump him right now. Mm-hmm. Like for no reason.
So, so I think saying something like that will get it out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Saying like, oh, like, thinking, making it seem like you, they're implying it's something so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll make them say, it wasn't anything like that. Oh, no, no, no.
It's just not like a snaggle tooth or something. He's got like, some.
It could be. I mean, like, it could be a wide variety of things. Like, sometimes, I don't know. Like, sometimes just family dynamic things are weird.
Yeah. Something about the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just, the mom says, I don't think he's good enough for her.
The other thing I'll say, too, like, because I think we noted here that she's, like, 28 or something. Like something my like mom like our my parents talked to me about, at least just as I would be like older in relationships versus younger. I think I said to my parents once, you know, when I would be in college or high school in relationships, it was very much like, oh, how fun. I'm so happy for you. It was always just like very positive. And as I got older, they kind of looked at things through a more serious lens. And I think I asked my mom about that. I'm like, you know, hey, it feels a little different. You're treating people a little differently than you used to. And it was kind of like, yeah, well, I mean, you're in your mid late 20s, the relationships like this would be a person that's part of the family. It's not just like, oh, you're just having fun. So maybe they are, you know, you're 28. They're looking at it through more of a lens that feels more maybe critical than it used to, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our parents, I don't know. I think mom reserves that for like somebody that I've been dating for years and years. Dude, they were so, oh my God, they were horrible about John. Horrible. I begged them to meet him. Then my mom ended up, I think, meeting him like the night that she saw my first tattoo. So she was just devastated, livid.
This is an actual ex, not hated, the story.
Yeah, John. Sorry. This is an actual ex. Hated the fact that, like, what his job was. Hated it. Da, da, da. She just hated that he had, like, pulled me into tattooing, essentially.
Yeah, he into this, kind like, of artist got the world,
which like I'm forever grateful to him for doing that, but like I think he also like met dad and was like, hey brother, like just you know, he was DJing that night or whatever, and dad was like, he called me brother.
Oh yeah, I think he said bro.
And he like wouldn't give it up, and it was like, what am I supposed to fucking do with that dude? You guys hate him, and now I have to warm him up to you again. Like, oh, that's gonna make it so hard for her to like bring him around again, you know?
Yeah. I guess scenario. Like, I guess we gotta answer the question. What about the, how do you, if there is a weird first impression, how do you come back from that?
Done that, or tried to anyway.
I do think, because I remember it was an ex from when you were younger, but my mom's like, mom said, like, you know, I kind of was like, eh, like, he was kind of dumb, but she's like, he grew on me. Like, I think there is sort of that.
Yeah. Yeah, she usually does say that, actually.
There's sort of those situations where it's like, they're there for that. Something, and then a toilet gets clogged, and they run in with the plunger. They have some weird knowledge, and
like, and then they'll be like, happens. Oh, he's kind of charming.
That's the thing, is like, so it, you have to kind of give it time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know if your family is volatile. I think also just kind of maybe asking yourself about your family. Like, does your family have a history of like finding a weird nitpicky thing, like, you know how we talk about the ick or something like that? Is there do you have family icks where it's like he just wore a weird thing, or if does he have anything that stands out to you? Because some families, it's like they're weird about tattoos, and like, did they see a tattoo and could that have been it? Did he, does your family hate swearing and he accidentally dropped a swear word? Did he, is there weird little things like that? Because sometimes there's just, some people are just weird about weird shit.
Totally could have been something like that.
I don't know. I would like to know if and when you find out.
Right?
Start with your sister, though.
What exactly is going on with him?
Exactly.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Oscar, my first boyfriend.
That was who I was talking about.
You were?
Yeah, when mom said, yeah, he grew on me after
school. Yeah, oh, I thought you were talking about one of yours. Yeah. Well, she's... So he was kind of like not passing any of his classes and like barely scraping by, and he like smoked cigarettes and he is 16.
He was like a very indie. Like,
oh yeah, he was all kid. Squiggly and
he
like
was, he was a squiggly person.
He was a squiggly guy. Oh yes, love him. But then also she found out that like he had that crazy when I went to prom with him and his mom walked in the door and she was like, oh my God, Carolina. And she's like, oh my God, Barb. And they realized, they ended up going through the photos. Oscar had been at your like second birthday party. And there he is sitting at the plastic table, like at Charlotte's second birthday party. I think I'd like just been born.
Yes.
That was my first one. And we didn't know that until.
Oh yeah. Prom. Because and he, so, he like, went to my, he was like a neighbor, went to a
randomly lived in. Yeah. So
that
crazy.
That is so crazy. Like how in the condos. The world can be.
Mm-hmm. And so after that, mom was like, ah, he's all right.
The world is so small. Like whenever whenever I hear stories about people saying like, oh, you know, it was so crazy. Like there's this, I'm like, I really think like you can, I've had the situations where I've been on the other side of the country and bumped into fucking.
Dude, people, like, that happened. That happened to me in Italy. Crazy. Actually, it didn't necessarily happen to me. I was with some friends and we kind of got caught on separate trains. Mm-hmm. And my homegirl who I was with like takes a picture on the train of a tattoo that I had done like that's several months insane. Prior on some dude, and she just like recognized my work.
That's insane.
Crazy. I love crazy little shit like that. I believe in like the red string theory, you know.
There it exists.
I absolutely believe it.
You know what's wild?
Huh.
So I got a following on, so the way I got a following on TikTok. So mm-hmm. I was doing absolutely nothing on TikTok. Like I was doing downloaded it during the pandemic. My first TikTok actually was me and Nicole dancing at Danielle's bachelorette party.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I'm like fiddling with it. I would do stuff around my apartment, like little TikTok-y trends. You could probably find them if you looked for them. They're very cringy. and then I think I saw some TikTok where someone's like, I have stolen the username of some big company and ha ha ha, I'm having fun with
it. I remember
someone did like a celebrity name or something. I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm like, what is a company everybody fucking hates? And I'm like, everyone hates college textbook companies, like all the memes about the Pearson Education textbooks, and like
there's lots of companies that everyone like, hates, but that was a good choice.
Yeah, but it's like you have to do the little quizzes on it, and it's like you guess the right thing and it's literally you lose a point. The textbooks are stupid money. It's so annoying. So I make that my username, and I just every day I would do like day one of
what was your username?
Pearson Education. Oh, yeah, Pearson. I changed my username to Pearson Education.
Mm-hmm.
And then every day I would overlay it of some video of me goofing off or something, drinking, having fun. And it would be day one of holding this username hostage and some.
And I knew people. I remember talking about this TikTok to people and they'd be like, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Like
so my videos get like sometimes I'll get a million and up video every now and then, like views and stuff. These videos were getting 10. They're still my top viewed videos. Like there's 10 million views on these. And stuff like that. And then I'm getting followers, like 37,000 followers or something like that from this alone, just changing my username, roasting this company. And then I think I got a weird ass email of somebody who knew the name of the company I worked for at the time. Like, how are you, like, we're going to send all these things to the company I was working at. And like, oh yeah, here's your family members. Like, that's what happens when you go that viral. And I was like, I've got to shut this down.
Somebody was threatening you.
I don't know who it was. It was very weird.
Okay.
And so I was like, I should probably shut this down. And so I do, because I needed to wait to like change my username. I like went dark for like 2 weeks, and then I come back on it and I change the username to just, I'm like, what name should it be? I don't want it to be anything Charlotte party. Like, I'm like, nothing with Charlotte in it. I'm like, fucking welcome, like the like something about peasants and something, and I pick like welcome to the peasant. I was just, I didn't know what else to call it, like sure. Welcome to the Black Parade, and I'm a giant dirty ass peasant. Welcome to the peasant party. That's what sure. We're doing.
Okay.
And so I do that, and then I obviously I still have this following. Like, I gotta do something with this. And then I had this stupid little argument with Ashley, and I was like, about what is a talking stage? And I like do a little chart. I'm like, oh, like something's here. But what was cool about it was I already had 37,000 followers. I was in the creator fund, and that boosted things up. So that was where all my followers came from. Now, where this red string theory came in, that's really freaking crazy, I guess, is that because of all of that craziness and all of that following and all of that nonsense, I'm now in a serious relationship with someone whose last name is fucking Pearson.
So weird. I know. So spooky.
I know. That's all. It's all because of a stupid fucking textbook.
And you know what? I definitely I think that the red string theory applies. We're getting spiritual in here, but I do think that the red string theory applies to like all important people in your life.
Yeah.
Basically, I believe that reincarnation exists and you reincarnate with the same people over and over again.
So. I do think it's a cop-out, though. If you're a person who never left your hometown and you end up marrying somebody who went to your high school and, yeah, you maybe were in different years, and then you're like, oh, I found a picture of our elementary school from, like, the whole school.
Right.
Yeah, it's like... That doesn't count. It's supposed to be like...
It's supposed to be you two at Disneyland randomly in the far back of their photograph or whatever.
Exactly.
Like
if you grew up in the same hometown, it's a cop-out.
Yeah.
This trend's not for townies.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So, little quick hit before our last one's kind of short. So, our least favorite person in the entire world, her name is Tinks, the... bitch with her box theory. She has another dating take, which is basically just, and I have to read it in her voice because I can't not. Men always come back or their lives get worse. That's her take. Do you believe that that is true?
Cope. It's a cope. I'm sorry. That's agreed. Coping. I can't help it. Because, like, I'm sure the same applies the other way. Like, oh, she'll always come back, or she's...
It's also like...
She's gonna wish she had me, like, she's gonna make a mistake.
When you watch somebody's life from the outside looking in, like, you're not getting a full picture. It's just like, oh yeah, they picked the next woman that they saw. It's like, yeah, she's gonna look like the next... Just the next random woman to you, because you're just seeing, like, little pictures where she's standing next to him with a Christmas tree. Like, you're not seeing anything about a person.
You know what's like, so foul to me is the, like, yeah, looking at the new girl that he's with and being like, oh, I'm... Yeah.
I'm so much more interesting.
Downgrade. I'm so much hotter and more interesting. Oh my God. Like, he's totally down. He's settling and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, he's not.
No.
She's probably fucking lovely.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you'd probably be friends with this bitch if circumstances were different.
Yeah.
If you look back at all of the exes that you've had since you were an adult.
Mm-hmm.
If the circumstances were correct and there was not the same common denominator between you, would they be friends? Would they all be friends?
Oh, dude. Oscar, my first boyfriend, and Nate, my second boyfriend.
Oh, they started a band together.
Dude, they're best friends. They're best fucking friends.
They should have called their band Annabelle's
Ex. Ah, it would have been so good. I tried to pit them against each other so hard, too. I tried to make them, and they did hate each other for a minute, because I was like kind of bouncing back between. I was a bad person. And then eventually they like met up and became best friends in San Francisco. And they are besties. And it's just so hilarious. Funny the like artist personalities, the way that they fit together.
I love it.
Ah, dude, totally they would. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I've decided that mine would be frenemies. They would like certain qualities about one another and then they would not care for each other.
Yeah, because I definitely have dated different types of dudes too.
Because there's like one of them. Buddy likes his food, good food. There was an ex who liked good food who was...
Uh-huh.
They would not get along in other ways.
No, they would not.
There's one who was like, no, you know, salt of the earth, country music fun, but that just was a pain in the... Like,
coke addict.
Don't say...
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we're not trying to slander anybody, okay. But like, just somebody who was like flighty and not a good friend to people. And, you know, just...
In debt.
Like, Buddy has no patience for that. Like, so I feel like it's like... They would be, you know, you see each other at a party. Hey, what's up? Hey, they got so, like there's small doses. They'd be small doses friends at best. Yeah. But
yes,
I don't know.
Definitely, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I guess I've tried a lot of different types of people too. Got into it like before.
Yeah, there was
like this. I didn't look like this. I didn't talk.
Your Fortnite ex is a totally different person.
Oh my God, my Zionist Fortnite ex. Yes.
Annabelle dumped a guy for playing Fortnite too much.
There were other reasons that I dumped him.
I just remember the story was like, he's just like, I have to play Fortnite. And you're like, he smelled so bad. And I was like, I'm done.
Oh my God, I can't believe. Actually, oh my God, you know what's one thing? I don't know how well this works. I don't think it works at all. But my old roommate at the time, when I was going through that breakup, I was like, I don't know. I kind of want to text him right now. And she's like, okay, go in your notes app and write down all of the list of reasons of things that you hate that make you just absolutely not want to be with this person at all. And so I wonder if I still... I think I probably that would be still hilarious. Have that note.
We should do like a check the notes app. We might.
Oh, God. Yeah, it would have been like 2018.
All of mine, I actually went through it. Like, someone was like, I have a list of everybody I've ever hooked up with. I'm like, I go through it.
I did. I did.
I've never written.
But no. I didn't keep up on that. How many bodies do you have, by the way?
Don't refer to people.
What's your body count, by the way?
Zero. Okay. I've never fucking killed a person. That is so
zero. I am a virgin.
I'm sorry. So, like, Buddy gives me a hard time for this, and so does the internet. But I think the term body count to describe your sexual history is fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. When I hear body, when the term body is used, it is used to describe a human who is no longer living. Body found at the bottom of a river. Or it's like a dead body of sorts. So either. When we're talking about body counts, either you are responsible for that person no longer being alive, or you are attracted to a person who is no longer alive and want to have sex with a person who's no longer been alive. And either way, I'm going to call the fucking police. Damn. That's disgusting.
I'm reading a book right now about necrophilia. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what you are if you're talking about body counts.
You're
a necrophiliac or a murderer. So shut the fuck up with your
Oh, God.
I think it's a disgusting way to refer to anybody. And people are like, oh, well, you know, when sex is meaningless, it's like, do you not have... I don't care if sex is meaningless. Well, like, oh, well, it's because hookup culture and blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. If you're going to, like, even if you're having the most casual of casual sex, like, have the decency to call this person a living human being. I'm sorry. It's disgusting to call that a body.
Kids
these days are fucking gross. I personally think all these podcasts that are like, what's the body count, blah, 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 like, those aren't dating podcasts. I also think we can actually keep this in here. I think it is disgusting and crass that it is, like, somehow socially acceptable to ask borderline strangers about their sexual history, or that is, like, your first go-to question to start talking about sex with somebody who might potentially be your partner. Like, there are fucking Gen Zers sitting down on first dates, what's your body count? It's like, you have no idea what someone's sexual history is. Like, I say that genuinely. Not so much, like, what, like, you don't know, like, if someone has some sort of childhood trauma, like,
right,
what's your body count? Like, right. And just you lump it all together. Fuck, that's disgusting. No, like, don't. That's not how you start a conversation about sex. Like, and I say that not as a person who's like, I wouldn't want to be asked that, but as somebody who, sure, like, has had those conversations with partners who have had trauma, and I would, yeah, never say that to them. Like, man, like, it's gross. I hate that.
Yeah, I think my goal in talking, discussing it without being like, ah, I do prude, like, mm-hmm, you know, is like, you can do the hookup culture thing. You can go through your phase, whatever, and you can still come out of it on the other side with a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Like, you are still a whole person that can be totally healthy and be successful and enjoy your life and, mm-hmm, like, and get a really positive relationship if you want one.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I look at, like, so many random friends from college, like, the horriest ones, like, they're married with a baby, like,
yeah,
happy family, dude, white picket fence, they are fine. They're married to...
Body count doesn't fucking matter. So you think they were, like, those husbands were like, you must have...
No,
they're happily married, so...
No, they, I think that, well, the husband, the people they married, also, they're like, if I ask this question, I gotta, like... They've all got, they were all sorority frats that people that met, and they know all these things. Like, they kind of have an idea. That's how it is. Like, I think the people, yeah, that are, it's the question that kind of gets asked like this, it's very young. Because, like, when you're that age, you don't know what else to ask. It's just, have you done it before? How many times? Is it more than one person?
Yeah,
when you're 18, 19, like, that's all you know how to ask about sex. So that's, like,
damn, that's true, huh?
Like, if somebody has had sex, like, a few times more than you, then, like, it's like, oh, they're way ahead of me with experience.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a young person question when I hear it.
Yeah, do you think it's less of a, like, purity culture thing and more of, like, somebody who has, like a man asking a woman?
I think it's just, like, chronically online thing.
Chronically online, but it's also, like, intimidating, isn't it? To be like, oh, shit, she has slept with so and so many people and I haven't, so she's gonna think I'm bad at this. Like,
I don't even know if it's that. I think it's like, because I think in general, if someone's done this thing, like, when you haven't had sex yet, it's this big mythical thing up in the sky, and you're kind of like, yeah, like you don't know what to expect and stuff. And if someone, yeah, just has done it, let alone, like, maybe a few more times, sometimes that's just how the chips fall. Like, I know people who were virgins until they were 24. They went to a Christian school, they were engineering majors, and they were a guy, they didn't talk to a lot of women, and that's just how the chips fell.
Yeah.
And so it was scary, and, like, a lot of times it's like, if you get older, then all of a sudden it's a special thing. Like, people are kind of like, that's really great for you, I admire that, but, like, I'm not going to take that away from you if, yeah, I'm not sure. Like, And so that kind of thing just happens. Like, I think it's kind of the scary thing. I think there's sort of, it's also because if you think about younger people too, like think of an 18 or 19 year old, anybody who's around you that somebody could have slept with or whatever, because this person's probably in your high school. You probably haven't left your hometown, or you're in college or something, surrounded by people, the same people that you all see, that you know, it's a big community.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've had like sex before, you have a body count, X amount of people, it's probably recent because you probably haven't been having sex that long in the first place. If you're 18, 19, 20, whatever, like when did you start having sex? Like when you're 16, 17, 18, like it would have been recent. Mm-hmm. And then also like those people are probably in orbit. Like they're probably not that far away. Like if you're in college or high school, like if you're in high school, I don't want to talk to high school kids. I'm not.
Yeah.
But you're in college. It's like you've had sex with 5-10 people. Those people were probably wandering around your college or high school. And it's kind of like a, do I know this person? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that person's still around and could be like, hey, what's up? I don't know.
Yeah.
Versus like if you're 30 and you've lived in a bunch of different cities, it's kind of like they could have had sex with 10 people that are nowhere nearby anymore. I don't know.
If somebody asks you that on a date, what do you say? Would you lie?
I wouldn't. I would. If someone said, what is your body count? I would say, how fucking old are you? I would be like, I'm on the wrong date. Like,
you'd ridicule them.
I would bully them until they cried. Well, because it's also just like, I don't have patience for like socially fucking unaware losers.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is a sign you're watching all this shit. Like, because I'll be real. Like, nobody has ever, like, the last time someone asked, and side note, growing up, people used to say, what's your number? Like, this body count thing. Apparently, it's regional because, like, other people were like, we were saying that growing up or whatever. But I think that's a gross term. I think anyone who uses it is a childish person. Like, you're not a fucking Navy SEAL. Like,
mm-hmm.
No. You're cringy and sad. Stop it.
You're not a Navy SEAL.
No, you're cringy and sad. Never talk again. But no, I have no patience for badly socialized people. Like, I date people, I'm in a relationship with a person who understands social skills, like, didn't ask that question. But at the same time, if he really was intent on doing so, he has enough information to do math.
Yeah.
Because he asks real questions. Like, it's kind of like, oh, who have you dated? Like, what's kind of your life look like? Like, people volunteer that information.
Anyway, yeah.
I hate that bullshit. Like, it's just like when people are like, oh, you just go and ask, what are you bringing to the table? I wrote a whole poem on that, by the way.
You mean?
It's not a rap. It's just a very cringy poem. This has been a good episode. We didn't ask. We're like... We did the Tink shit on questions. Side note, if anyone wants to call us pick-me's for shitting on Tinks, Tinks is the biggest pick-me under the fucking sun.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah!
And beyond.
Ciao. Bye.
Fuck you, Tinks. And also, fuck you, Dan Schneider.
So I'm supposed to pretend to be a freaking...
No, it's just... I just don't want to, give affirmation to those types of things that use the same lingo, that use all the same bullshit.
We're cutting out all the slutty stuff. Sorry.